Here's a question as we begin today's broadcast of Sound Doctrine. How will you respond to life's adversity?
There's two ways to look at adversity. The first way is you can get better from it, and that's a little hard, you know. How do you get better from it? You can grow from it, right? The groaning can show you the growth, and you can actually get better. Or the other way, you can get bitter. And bitterness is, I think, it's easy to enter into. You just get angry and just, I have no hope. You know, what's this all about? Look, yeah, just another, look what else has happened now, you know? And that type of attitude. You're getting bitter, man. And there's a cloud over your head. Now, each of those is a choice, isn't it? We can choose to get better from it, or we can get bitter from it. And it's just a matter of where we put ourselves and what we're going to do with the situation.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Oh, hi there, and welcome again to Sound Doctrine. Hey, do you remember as a child getting growing pains? Boy, they hurt like crazy. They usually keep you up late at night too, right? But it was necessary stretching. And so it is with the Christian life, as we'll soon see. You see, in this life, we experience painful trials, growing pains, if you will. They're intended to help us grow into the person God wants us to be. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson with more in Romans chapter 8.
We're in the book of Romans, and we're studying the most important chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. So if you'll turn there in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. This morning, we're going to be talking about growing pains. Growing pains. My kids had growing pains when they were growing up. You know, these things that we're going to be looking at this morning are growing pains. Growing pains are good, though, because when you think about it, it's the stretching that we need to have. It's good. It's a good pain, but it hurts. It's deep. It feels like my bones are being stretched. That's right. You're growing. And so when we go through these growing pains, we're being stretched. You know, when I came to the Lord, all I needed was some peace. I didn't have peace. I had this peace, but I didn't have peace inside. And I was hurting. I needed forgiveness. I knew it. I had blown it in many different areas, and I needed some hope. I had no hope. There was no hope in this world, and the war was going on then. It was really sickening what was taking place. I had a lot of pain in my heart, and so I needed some pain relief. And I didn't need a bunch of precepts, religious precepts or religious principles. All I got, though, was what I needed. And that was a simple sharing with me that now that I've received Christ, I am now a child of God, and that He is now my Heavenly Father. Jesus is now my best friend. He's my Savior. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling within me. Now, that's a lot for a young Christian to take in, but I knew I was just going to find out all about this intimacy, this relationship, this incredible journey that I had started on. Romans chapter 8 confirms all of this and so much more. That's what we've been kind of looking at. His work within us, setting us free from the problems without. There's a lot of things that people are going through. It's a lot of head trips, but there's a lot of it, it's because of the outward. It's because of the world, the lies that are in this world. And so the Holy Spirit has come to kind of give us peace in the inward, to help us with that which we're seeing, the circumstance and the situations around us, that we can make it through this place without any panic, with a real peace that passes human understanding, that we can do what God's called us to do. So the more we learn, the more we yield, the more we live and walk after the Spirit, because that's what we've been talking about here in Romans chapter 8, the more victory we have over the flesh and the work of the flesh in and around our lives. I mean, it messes things up. The flesh seems to be always in the way, but now we're dealing with it. And the Lord is showing us how he is going to take care of it and deliver us from it. We're now being led by the Spirit. That's what we learned last week, how the Spirit is leading us. He's conforming me, transforming me into his image by the renewing of my mind through the Word of God. That's what God's doing, causing fruit to come out of my life. This is spiritual fruit. You know, long-suffering, patience, meekness, kindness, things that I didn't have before that now God's given me in his Spirit, and now they're coming out of my life. We read verse 17, but I want to go back for a moment. Romans 8, verse 17, and if we're children, we're then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be. Now, this is the part I want to look at real quick before we enter into the new stuff. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So we will suffer, is what he's saying. We will suffer. There will be some pain, groanings going on. But it will be, notice, with him. We will suffer with him. Now, if it's with him, I don't care. You know, you ask, you know, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, he was with them, and they were okay. They just got put some shades on and said, hey, it's cool in the furnace, you know? This is cool. And they did, nothing was touched except that which bound them was loosed. And so as we're going through our sufferings, our trials, that which is binding us will be loosed, and he will be with us. And I love that part. So spiritual growth pains, as we've been adopted and now we are adapting, you know, into this new life that he's given to us. But his promises, they're so powerful, they outshine any pain. Outshine it. You know, we're glorified together. You see, that's where we're headed. He's given us a little glimpse of where we're going. Yes, we're suffering, but we're going to be glorified together. And that's the end result of all this that's taking place around us. So here Paul continues to encourage these Romans and us this morning concerning these groanings. Groanings around us, verses that we're going to see in verse 18. And verse 23 says groanings in us. And then in verses 26 and 27, on behalf of us, there are groanings. So a whole lot of groaning going on here. So let's look at it. Now, remember, groanings are for growth. So Paul first says, the groanings that are around us, verse 18. For I reckon, you didn't know Paul was a Texan, did you? Yeah, I reckon. He's from the South. I don't know. It just worked out that way in the King James. But that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Interesting. I reckon. Paul's saying here that he's comparing the world's tribulations, what we're going through and the sufferings that we're having to go through, to our future hope that is coming. Now, for those of you taking notes, put down in your notes 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, 15. Listen. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. For he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, we're suffering, we're going through it, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. It works us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he's saying that God is giving us a whole new way to look at after things, new pair of glasses, so to speak. Looking at this trials and the sufferings that are around us compared to what is coming. Now, I know that Paul, he understood pain. He had groaning pains, and he really went through it. And I know Moses. He went down with the children of Israel into the mud pits. Talk about groaning late at night. You know, when you're working, you know, 7-12s or 7-14s, you're hurting physically for sure. I'm sure mentally also. Suffering. Job went through some suffering. Ever read Job? He suffered. He understood pain. Many others. The Romans now are about ready to enter into a season of suffering and pain. Paul is preparing them. He's preparing us for what's up ahead. For the, you know, the bumps in the road, so to speak. The trials, the tribulations, the suffering, the different things that come to us in this very dark and sinful world. And so he's putting it down, preparing them for what's coming. There's two ways to look at adversity. The first way is you can get better from it. And that's a little hard, you know. How do you get better from it? You can grow from it, right? The groaning can show you the growth, and you can actually get better. Or the other way, you can get bitter. And bitterness is, I think, it's easy to enter into. You just get angry. And just, I have no hope. You know, what's this all about? Look, yeah, just another, look what else has happened now, you know? And that type of attitude. You're getting bitter, man. And there's a cloud over your head. Now, each of those is a choice, isn't it? We can choose to get better from it, or we can get bitter from it. And it's just a matter of where we put ourselves and what we're going to do with the situation. Interesting, the old Chinese proverb is problems bring forth opportunities. That's how they look at problems. Open doors. Just go through and you're going to learn something from this one. And it's a good attitude as you go through those doors. James says, oh, I count it all joy when I enter into trials and tribulations. James knew something. Paul, he also said, I count it glory, or we glory in our trials and tribulations. What is James counting it joy for and Paul say glory? Because they knew that they're just growing pains that cause some groaning, but you're going to grow from it. And they embraced the trials and the sufferings because they knew God was in it. It always goes past his throne first, doesn't it, before it comes to us. So, the present suffering is for future provision. What do you mean? Well, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, write it down, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, Paul says, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, all the pressures of life, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And I love that. When you read that, you realize that nothing happens for no reason. That you go through what you go through so you can help somebody else down the line, down the road with whatever they're going through. And you can say, hey, I've been there, done that. You're kidding. No, I went through that. And let me tell you, and let me share with you how the Lord comforted me during what I went through so he can comfort you in that same comfort. So I love that, how the Lord works it out. And it's always, you know, present suffering for future provision, you know. All things, Romans 8:28, we're almost there. We're going to be there next week. You don't miss next week. Romans 8:28, the most quoted scripture of all time, you know. All things, right, are working for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Wow, we need to sit on that one for a while. Now, Acts chapter 14, and mark this down, verse 22. Paul is now going back. Luke is writing, and Luke puts down and says, we were going forth and confirming the souls of the disciples, Acts 14:22. We were exhorting them to continue in the faith. Hang in there, guys. Don't give up. Remember that little cat that was hanging on that rope? Gave that weird look, and it says, hang in there. That's us. And that's what Paul said. Hang in there, guys. Hang on. He's going to get you through this. So continue in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, we're going to suffer. Yes, there's going to be growing pains. And we're going to groan somewhat. But it's to enter into the kingdom of God. These are things that are just falling off, like the work of the flesh and things that God's teaching us along the way that we're in. See, we're in the way, not in his way, in the way. I am the way, Jesus said. We're seeking his word, his ways, And we're learning so much. We're growing so much. So remember, Paul said, this light affliction. I love that. You know, light affliction. Did you ever read about what Paul went through? And he's calling it light affliction. One day you'll have to just go down and read the list of things he went through. Unbelievable what he calls light affliction. I mean, we have not experienced maybe 1% of what he experienced. But he had a great way of looking at things. So he's saying there's no comparison of if even all that he went through with what's coming ahead. And the key, of course, is eyes on him, eyes on eternal things, what's coming. Don't get your eyes on the temporal. Set your affections, your heart, on those things that are above, what God has told us. And God's objective for us has always been glory. That one of these days we'll behold his glory in the fullness thereof. Jesus' prayer is that I can't wait to show you the glory that's coming. And so with anticipation, we're waiting for the glory, the promises of God to be totally fulfilled. For right now, we get a taste. Later, it's going to be incredible. So we're going to be changed. We're going to be like him. And so this hope, he says, those that have this hope of the soon coming of the Lord are going to be purified even as they are pure. That's in 1 John 3, verse 3. This hope purifies us. It's a good purification. Now, verse 19 of chapter 8, he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, emptiness, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There are three more groans that we need to look at here. And the first one, of course, is us, and then creation. And the last one we're going to look at this morning is the Spirit. So the first is the creature. Remember, we read the Psalm, Psalm 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? That's us, man. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And we're going, yeah, that's it, man. God did right when he created us, you know. Well, there is a problem. And psychologists call the problem we were created with utter frustration. Utter frustration. In other words, man was born with a void. Notice what it says in verse 20. The creature was made what? Subject to what? Vanity, emptiness. We were created with this void, this abyss, this bottomless pit that can't not be filled. I mean, man tries. To some extent, we can satisfy some of our body drives, you know, with good looks or with education, with money. We, you know, some of those things can be satisfied. But when it comes to this God drive that we have, you say, what? God drive? I mean, before I knew the Lord, I didn't have any God drive. Yeah, but I had a void, and I was trying to fill it with everything in this world, and nothing fit or satisfied. So in a way, God created me with something that was there that would never be filled by the things of this world. This is the God drive. Now, over in Psalm, verse 42, he says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, going after that water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So David's saying, my soul goes for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, man's greatest drive is his thirst for God, but he doesn't know it because he's trying to fill this void that God put there with everything that doesn't work. But this is the drive that we have, we were created with, and it's a good drive, and eventually it's created to drive us to Christ, to get us to the place where we cry out and say, okay, God, is there something more? Am I missing something? I mean, you get to the point where you just get, you know, kind of desperate here. But nothing fits. Mick Jagger has been trying to do it for years. He's still out there, you know, going, I can't get no satisfaction, man. And he's tried and tried. He's had all the money and this and everything. He's still singing about it. Solomon's complaint was, Hey, I got to build more barns because I've got all the silver, all the gold, and all the world. And you're going, what? I mean, he had everything materialistic you could think about. Everything. In fact, more than that, he had all the women of the world. He had the best looking. They did a beauty, you know, show, and he snagged them all up. And he put them on his harem. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. And they were the best looking in all the world. And he still wasn't satisfied. Then I was thinking about the woman at the well. Do you remember that story? Jesus sat down with this woman at the well, and he started talking with her. And as he was talking with her, he said, well, just bring your husband out, you know. And she looked at him really funny and said, well, I don't have a husband. And he looked at her and said, well, I know that. The man you're living with is not your husband. And you've had 5 husbands. Boy, you've really tried. You know, it just doesn't come through relationships, does it? Oh, you can go over and over. What marriage you on? 3. What are you on? 4. It never ends, man. The grass is not greener, guys. Ain't greener. In fact, it's about dead. And it'll cost you. You know, I don't want to go there. But anyhow, we won't go there. But it doesn't satisfy relationships. I remember that, you know, I got this call, and I was just out of school, and I barely graduated, made it. Man, I know everything at that time. I was 18, 19, and my best friend calls me, and he's calling from Hawaii, because I knew he went over there, and he said, Jeff, and I said, what? God's in Hawaii. I went, oh, man, awesome. He's not in L.A., so I'll be right over, because... Man, I tried. You know, is there any God thing going on here? You know, nothing, man. I was empty. So I thought, hey, God's in Hawaii. And so we got into the Eastern religion thing and seeking this and that. And come to find out, it's not location either. It's not relation. It's not location. You know, how many times have you moved? I don't know. I moved a lot, man. And you could try to think, oh, everything's old location. Because that's what they say in real estate. Location, location, location. No, it's not the answer. See, it doesn't fill the void. Doesn't get it. Drugs, lust, religion, philosophy, you name it. None of it gets it. In fact, Solomon finally came to the end and he said, it is vanity. It's emptiness. It's vexing my spirit. And that word vexing is the King James version of I'm bummed. It's bumming me out. Everything that I've been doing, I'm coming up short. Oh, is that a God thing or what? Is God trying to get our attention or what? And he set it up in that way so we would come to the end of ourselves. But some are so stubborn, they continue to hit the wall. You wonder, how long are they going to keep hitting the wall? I mean, when are they going to cry uncle and give in and check this out? I don't know. Some are some real hard nuts. But thank God he's got that nutcracker, right? And he just puts a little bit more squeeze on it. The world, the flesh, and the devil can really get you down after a while to where you finally let go. And then everything takes place from there.
Well, we are in the middle of Romans chapter 8 here on Sound Doctrine. And what you've heard today was Pastor Jeff Johnson's message called Growing Pains. And he'll share the rest of it next time. Well, let me pass along to you our toll-free number, which you can use to order resources from us, well, like today's message from Romans on CD. It's 800-353-7553. And by the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, reach out to us at 800-353-7553. Or you can access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You know, more and more people these days are listening to teaching through their mobile devices. And if that's you, well, check out our app. You can do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. And with Halloween coming up later on this month, maybe you've wondered, how should Christians participate? What is God's Word on Halloween? Well, today we'd like to tell you about an informative video study that shines the light on the nature and tactics of our enemy. You'll also learn about the history of Halloween and whether it's a holiday to be celebrated by Christians. Request the DVD, God's Word on Halloween, today from Sound Doctrine, by calling 800-353-7553. Or you can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Please also remember that it's your financial support that helps to make these studies possible on your station and others like it. Your contribution is an investment in the lives of so many listeners that makes it their aim to build their lives on the sound doctrine contained in the Word of God. So, thank you very much. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click donate, or call 800-353-7553. There's much more to come in the book of Romans. Make plans to join us each day as together we open and study the Word of God with Pastor Jeff. Sound Doctrine is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,